The whirring and hammering had stopped and they went to the plane. It was being dollied to just inside the open hangar door. Stormalong was standing there with his co-pilot.
You stay here, both of you. You!
He jabbed a finger into Stormalong's chest.
Be me. Go on that same route every day in my clothes and throw rocks. And you!
He pointed a finger at the co-pilot, a Scot they called Darf.
Be Angus.
I'm not good at other things, Bonnie Angus cans!
Wailed the co-pilot.
You do them,
said Johnny. A Russian came running in from outside and told them it was all clear, no drones coming, not on screens or eyeball. His new English had a colloquial Scotch accent. Johnny and Angus got in the plane. Sir Robert and Donaldine threw the food and water in. Then they both stood there, looking up at Johnny. They were trying to think of something to say, but both of them were unable to talk. Bitty stood back. He waved a timid hand. Johnny shut the plane door. Angus gave him a thumbs up. Johnny signaled the dolly crew to shove them out and pushed the heavy starter buttons with his fists. He looked back. The crews and people in the hangar door weren't waving. Johnny's fingers shoved into the console buttons. Stormalong watched breathlessly in the door. He had known Johnny was a flyer unequaled, but he had never seen a battle plane vault upward so fast and sharply and rush into hypersonic so quickly. The bottom of the broken sound barrier rocketed back at them as it echoed against the African peaks. Or was that the boom of the storm that engulfed the speeding ship? A roll of thunder and a lightning flash. The group in the hangar door still stood there, looking at the place where the ship had vanished into the cloud-boiling sky. There, Johnny was on his way to America fast, fast, fast. They didn't like it. Not any part of it.